And take two. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And I'm very excited to do the show. I made a mistake. Can I say
please,
I made a mistake?
Yeah. So I'd love to hear you admit you made a mistake.
So I was in California.
Yeah.
We did a show out in California, which that show with Jeff Loeb, head of Marvel TV, is still coming. Justin's working on the audio a little bit, doing some tweaks and stuff.
Yeah.
But while you guys were out here, you did a by all rights. Twitter was blowing up about this. A huge, amazing show with our special guest, Chris Griggs.
Right.
One of our favorite guys to have here.
Oh, yeah.
And then my computer deleted it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened.
So there you go. So we're very excited to have Chris Griggs back on again.
Yeah, back. I'm investigating this, and I asked Pete, I said, have you guys ever lost a file before? And he goes, no. I'm not saying Alex was just sitting there over that file, but it was a hot show, man. Awesome. And you know, the whole thing, Alex is not here. You got left. Justin left you in the middle of the show, and it's just Pete rocking the show solo style.
Wait, I'm sorry. Justin left in the middle of the show?
In the middle of the show.
Why did he leave in the middle of the show?
He had something he had to do.
He left in the middle
of
the show.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Pete does the whole show. And
I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning making sure I sent you the goddamn file. And then you deleted it.
All right. Well, I feel really bad about it. It sounds like it was a great show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shut up. You guys just repeat line for line.
We can't.
What you did before. You can't repeat
that. No. Everybody knows we script out these shows.
Yeah.
So just go with the script. It's all good.
What sucks is I finally got to, we talked Preacher. We talked about Preacher.
Yeah, man.
We finally got to talk about the show. And we, as soon as Justin left, we spent like a good chunk going over it. But,
oh, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When season 2 happens, you can reiterate whatever you wanted to say.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, whenever that is.
Whenever that will happen.
Yeah, probably never. Okay,
no.
What?
The main thing is I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much for coming back. You always have a lot of irons in the fire. What irons do you have in the fire right now?
Some cool things are going on. Well, as always, we're still the Baldwins every Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Pit. We're closing in on our 500th show.
Wow,
really?
Really
exciting. I know. I didn't know that either. And then randomly, someone in the group said, "Hey, I think this is like 483 or something."
So
I
you
like,
sat down and counted it.
She did. Okay. Meg Griffith did. If you guys want to know who did,
sure.
Yeah. So she counted the shows. So we're getting on 500, which has got to be something in New York. That's something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all those. It's hard to find that many people that can't have successful careers that they're still doing improv shows at 500. I mean, that's not easy, guys. That's not easy. We make it look a lot easier than it is.
Are you going to do anything special?
No, I don't know. I just honestly, you were asking what's going on, and it just struck me that that is happening. So I think.
You better do something special. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Maybe we'll try to get the whole hour. I don't know.
I think I might have this wrong, so I probably shouldn't say it, but I think this show is probably going to pass our millionth download.
No
as
shit.
Well, talking about millionth download, guys.
I think.
Really?
I think that's true.
I don't know. We were talking the last time. It's, you know, I'm closing in a little bit on being the Alec Baldwin of the show. You know, like SNL. Like, I've been on it now a few times.
Right. Yeah. I thought you were talking about, like, the real. You leave weird messages for our daughters.
Oh, well, that's probably true, too. Yeah. I would leave messages for you guys.
Thanks.
Some other stuff. You can find 20 million people. Go. It's all 20millionpeople.com, but you can find on Amazon or Time Warner Cable Video on Demand. It's romantic comedy that I'm in. Talk about love. That's always kind of sweet.
Cool. And you were talking about you're going to be or were in and going to be a Stephen King project?
I am in a Stephen King blessed project. Someone else wrote it, but he's blessed the adaptation, and it's off a short story called Popsy.
When you say blessed, did he like hit it with a champagne bottle before you left? Or what?
Yeah, he said, give me royalties. I don't know what would go on in a Stephen King negotiation, but I'm sure it's creepy. And I mean, I'm sure it's awesome. I'm sure it's awesome, I mean. Gosh. And there went the project, guys, right there. No, I play a kidnapper who kidnaps a little boy who's...
I can see that.
Yeah.
You look like a... You definitely look like a kidnapper.
No! All right, you know what? Maybe I do look a little like a kidnapper. I don't care. Well, my Stephen King money's coming in, Pete. Sorry, Stephen King adaptation. I kidnap a kid, and he's always he's in my van, and it's in the 80s. It's
sure.
in the 80s, too, by the
sure.
way.
Sure.
I don't do anything to him. I just kidnap him. I'm in trouble. I'm trying to ransom
him. What are you going to do to him?
I was just going to ransom him for money. That's all. Wow.
I like how the father of two is like, what were you going to do to him?
Yeah.
I just want
and then this show winds
sake.
Up on the in the trash can. No, and then he keeps saying, like, you're going to be sorry when my Popsy shows up. And I'm like, shut up, kid. And then Popsy shows up, and it's not good. It's not good. Yeah. Popsy flies, and he's a bad grandpa dude. He's like a grandpa vampire. He's
oh,
a bad dude.
Okay. Spoilers.
Nice. Spoiler alert, it doesn't go well for the kidnapper. So that's happening. That's yeah. cool.
I hope that that you can get like typecast and you can be famous kidnappers in movies and stuff, because that would make me super
happy.
You know
what? I had so much dignity when I started, and now I'm like, look, Southern creepy dudes. Yeah. I'm here. I can rock it.
Yeah.
Do you have a dream Southern creepy role?
I tell you, anything that I'm going to mispronounce his last name. He's in Justified. Walter Goggins?
Matthau. Oh.
Goggins?
Walton Goggins, yes.
Goggins, yes. Is that right? He's in all the Tarantino stuff now. He was in Justified as a bad guy. He was in The Commish. Anything he... Not The Commish. Whatever.
Anyway, Shield?
Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, anything he does, I like it, you know? Uh-huh. Anything that he does, I dig. Woody Harrelson? I'd love to do Woody Harrelson stuff, but I'd have to... I'd probably dial it up the creepy a little bit. But other than that...
True Detective Season 3, you got
to
do it.
Yeah, or if they ever decide to do Sling Blade, hey, everybody, I'm ready.
they actually, this is a fun fact, they decided to do Sling Blade, and then they did it.
Well, they
it was a whole movie and everything.
I mean, like a prequel.
Yeah.
Or like a prequel or something
Sling Blade
after that.
Origins.
Yeah.
There we go. That worked out really well for Wolverine.
See, you know why I like it when it's just me and Pete? Pete doesn't know facts. Alex knows everything about everything.
Yep.
But no, you are correct.
All right. There we go.
If you're around Manhattan, which some of the people in the audience are, Friday I'm at the Tribeca Comedy Lounge in Manhattan.
Oh,
go
okay.
see me do a little stand-up.
That sounds fancy. Is it fancy?
It's pretty nice, actually. Yeah, it's in Tribeca. It's a nice little spot. Always great crowd. I really always enjoy it. It's fun times.
All right, very cool. Definitely check that out. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah! The Stack! There it is! Awesome. There it is!
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly liked and go to bat for them. Let's kick it off with Black Widow, number 6.
Yeah!
From Marvel Comics. Pete, you want to talk about this book a little bit?
Sure. What's great about this book right now is Black Widow is kind of breaking off and doing a lot of crazy things. We're not really sure kind of what she's up to, but she is kind of... broken away from the Avengers and seems to be kind of having this bad guy kind of moment where she is doing horrible things to the good guys. And it's very exciting, and it's a great kind of like, where is this going? So I've really been enjoying all these issues.
Yeah, this is great. This is by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee with art by with colors by Matt Wilson, I want to say. Yeah, Matthew Wilson is doing the colors, and Joe Carmagna is the letterer. The thing that's really interesting is they're doing this, I don't know if you guys know about Marvel style, where the writer will do an outline for the story, and then the artist will work off that outline, and then the writer will go back and write the dialogue. They're taking this almost one step further, I believe, where Mark Waid and Chris Samnee work out the story. Chris Samnee draws the whole thing, and then Mark Waid adds the dialogue.
Oh, wow.
So essentially, Chris Samnee is the lead on the book, and Mark Waid is the second.
Wow.
At least that's the way it was for the first issue or two. And it's really cool. I mean, Chris Samnee is an incredible artist.
Yeah,
he works so well with Matthew Wilson. The colors are gorgeous. And in this issue, Black Widow has been approached by Iron Man. Iron Man finds out that Black Widow was the person who kidnapped the man who taught him how to make the Iron Man armor when he was trapped back in that cave, back in his origin story. And he's basically saying, please tell me this is not true. Tell me you did not do this thing and led to this brilliant man's death. And the whole conflict of the issue is Black Widow essentially eventually telling him, yeah, I did that, but we need to move past that, and we need to figure out our relationship from there. And then, spoiler, because she's Black Widow, totally betraying him and using him in an amazing way. This book is pretty much perfect. Have you been reading this? Are you a Black Widow fan, Chris?
I like Black Widow. I haven't been reading this book. I did read this book, though. I thought it was cool. And I really liked the artwork, too. This was great. And it wasn't necessarily in the style that I guess I expected it to be. I don't know. But I thought it was great. And the story was fantastic. I liked the fact that you kind of think the whole story is going one way with her. And then you find out, no, man, this is some Art of War stuff going on. She's got a whole plan. She's got a big picture in mind. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
What I'm really curious about is to see what they do next, because I feel like every Black Widow story starts with going back to her origin, going back to the Red Room where she was trained with some guy or girl or something like that from her past, reemerges and reveals all these secrets about her, and her world gets blown up. They're doing it better than almost any team who has done it before, but I'm really curious to see what happens when they get past that. And
yeah,
to the
what's
next
the
story.
Payoff? Like,
exactly.
What's, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. But,
and will all this damage be worth it and be forgivable?
Yeah.
Because what she did to Iron Man, I don't know how that can be okay.
I'll forgive it.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. He was already messed up, because that was like, not only because that guy saved his life, but in his mind, that guy was going to change the world.
Right.
Which is something that he's always kind of been, he's wanted to do. But in his mind, the guy that she killed was smarter than him and Reed Richards and everybody. He could have really made the world a better place.
Yeah. I don't know. But if Tony, if there's anybody who is used to a girl totally fucking them over, it's Tony.
That's true. That's true.
I'm just saying. All right. Let's move on with another pick. Tales from the Dark Side, number 3.
Yeah.
Yes, from IDW. All right. Chris, you got to come every week. You're our hype man. I love
it. Yeah, I'm your warm-up audience.
Pete.
Yes.
Talk about this book.
All right. So
you're a huge fan.
Huge fan.
You've been tweeting the old Gabriel Rodriguez about it all week.
I have. So this is, well, I mean, the team on this is amazing. They do just fantastic work. They make these amazing worlds. In this specific issue, we kind of get how fucked up things have gotten. We have this crazy smart guy who's maybe being run by an evil monster in his head. And this is kind of like the monster kind of gets control a little bit. And now the kind of lab that has all the people who are doing experiments on him are dying horrible deaths. So
if you're not familiar with Tales from the Dark Side, it was an anthology series in, I want to say, the late 80s, early 90s, something like that, that was kind of like a Twilight Zone, kind of like an Amazing Stories, but as the title implies, a little darker, a little more horror-based, a little weirder than both of those. Amazing Stories, because it was Steven Spielberg, always felt a little more hopeful and a little more Amblin, if you will, while Twilight Zone was always trying to teach a lesson. Dark Side is kind of just like, fucked up things happen.
Yeah.
This comic series, what's really interesting about this, is it's based on a script that Joe Hill wrote for a CW pilot, a reboot of Tales from the Dark Side. It didn't pan out. Instead, he teamed up with his lock and key collaborator, Gabriel Rodriguez, to create the series, to create a comic book series based on the script. And it's really interesting. What I'm most fascinated about is how this would have ever panned out as a TV pilot, because the stuff that happens here, people turning into half human creatures, birds popping out of people's mouths, gigantic Rubik's cubes type structures popping out of thin air, it's insane.
Yeah, I
have no idea. How would this have worked as a TV series, Chris?
Well, the stuff that I had to get my head around with this is, because I followed this one, actually, is I'm used to my Tales of the Dark Side wrapping up at a certain point, and this one keeps on going.
Yeah.
And so you kind of you read several issues, and not that there's not a payoff, because it's kind of engaging, but they don't really wrap up that much. And then the other thing is, and I don't know, Pete probably disagrees with this. To me, there's not a real protagonist in this, because the kid's kind of just a victim. So he's a victim, and there's no, I don't know who I would look to be my hero in this thing.
Well, I think, like, eventually he will, but right now he's just down, not out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing, so you didn't read the first issue, did you?
No.
So the first issue was a done-in-one. It was about this, remind me about this, it was about a lifeguard that lets a woman drown. And then,
because he was tired, it wasn't like he was watching.
Right.
He's like, "Fuck
he
you!"
He falls asleep.
Yeah, Yeah, and then this horrible accident.
Fuck you!
Yeah, you made it seem really dark.
You feel like you struck a nerve with Pete. Like maybe there was a flashback of some time. Like, look, man, I just fell asleep.
No,
nobody drowned.
There's nothing ever happened in a pool. Don't look into my back history. Anyways,
shit,
so
man.
Yeah, so accident happened. He was on duty. Somebody died. And then because of that, he's been cursed. And so, like, this curse kind of leads to more deaths. But with this kind of new arc, we're kind of just, right now, we're on issue 2 of it, even though it's issue 3. It's really just kind of ramping up of all the madness. And then it'll hopefully kind of, you know, get better as far as, like, good guy.
The thing that is really curious to me about it as a TV series is you have that done in one story. During the done in one story, the main protagonist here shows up with his weird black Rubik's Cube and says, oh, God, is what happening to you? Is it a dark side event? Is it happening right now? Have you done something good or bad? And then because the guy's power is to make people fall asleep if he looks at them, he falls asleep, and that's it. Then we're following his story here, but I'm just trying to think about it as a three-act television structure.
Right.
But it's weird because this is an episode of television,
sure,
and the previous issue is, and the next issue is. So I don't know. I'm just trying to fit it all together in my head.
I would have trouble watching this on television, I think. Although, I mean, with, I don't know, Stranger Things and a lot of weird shows out, you could do it. I just don't know that the characters were engaging enough for me to follow.
I do love the idea of an anthology-type series like a Tales from the Dark Side or a Twilight Zone that also has serial elements. That's really cool.
That would be the best. If you had something that had some things that wrap up, but then you had sort of an arching storyline.
I think that's what we're getting here. The first one was a one and done, and now we're kind of getting a longer arc. But I would like to say, as far as the art and the storytelling are concerned, there is a couple panels that just show him as a kid with this kind of bad guy in his head, and then it kind of ages throughout the panel kind of subtly, and it's just so powerful and amazing. Instead of it being like flashback, here's me 5, here's me 10, it's just as the panels go on, he's getting older, and that just the subtle, amazing stuff that they do in this book is fantastic.
It's great. I mean, we love Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. We're huge fans of them here on the show, and the art is great. The writing's really solid. Totally get what you're saying. I don't know.
And it's only 3 in. Pete's right. It's probably one of these. It's a little bit. It's a good slow burn if they pay it off. There's no doubt about that because it is well written, and the art works great. You know, I agree with that.
Cool. I want to read more. All right, let's move on with our last pick. BPRD Hell on Earth, number 144 from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hype Man. All right, there we go. Now, this is my pick.
Yeah,
right?
This is your pick. You want to go off on me.
Well, no. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it because there's a part of it. Let me take a step back. If you're listening to the show for the first time, if you're hearing the show the first time, Pete has a tendency, don't take this wrong way, Pete.
Oh, here we go.
To go off about the stupidest, tiniest little shit.
Fuck you, you piece of shit.
Why would he get upset about that?
Yeah, why would you get upset?
Don't get
upset. Oh, yeah, littlest thing, you fucking asshole.
I'm just saying that whatever actually happens to the issue, you tend to focus on one weird side thing and get really
upset. Side thing? What are you fucking talking about? I lose my shit over big things.
So, BPRD and Hell on Earth, 144, if you haven't been reading the series, it's actually ending soon, which is kind of crazy, so don't start now. But as you probably can tell from the title, it's Hell on Earth. There's gigantic monsters coming. We're coming to the final arc where this enormous, bigger than any Godzilla ever put on screen type monster that actually breathes other smaller monsters is approaching the BPRD headquarters. They're outmatched. Nothing could stop this monster. At the same time, their Russian counterpart is traveling through hell with a tiny, evil little Russian girl who, at the end of the issue, spoiler, raises some even bigger monsters. And it's insane. I have no idea what's going to happen there.
I know.
Because this is not a world where, and then heroes come and everybody is saved and hooray. And the issue is wonderful, except for one tiny little thing.
I'm very interested to hear
one tiny little thing is, so there was just a series called Hellboy in Hell.
Right.
And in Hellboy in Hell, as you could probably guess, Hellboy has died. He's gone to hell. So in this issue and in the past arc, the little Russian girl and Osef, I guess is how you pronounce his name, the Russian guy, are traveling through hell to do something. Yosef doesn't know what it is. The little Russian girl has some sort of plan. They get to the point where, like, basically they're almost linked up to where Hellboy is.
Right.
And he doesn't fucking show up.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so mad. I'm
Why?
So mad.
It's BPRD.
No, but he needs to come back and save them. And I was waiting
Not
for
this that issue.
No, but I was waiting for that. At the end of the issue, there was going to be that moment where they come on Hellboy, and Hellboy's like, let's do this thing. And then he comes back to Earth and he punches the monster in submission and saves everybody.
Well, that
and everybody,
might happen.
And then everybody's okay, Pete.
This is like
why are they not okay?
This is like Comic Book Club Freaky Friday where you and Pete change bodies and you're angry and over the top. And
I know.
Pete's like, calm
Welcome
down,
to my world.
I'm sad and sweaty right now. Is this what you feel like all the time?
All the
oh
time.
Oh, my God.
It's tough to care about something and then when what you want doesn't happen.
It's tough. Sometimes the little things are big things, I guess, is the lesson that we learned.
Yeah. Well, how did you feel about
this? Didn't bother me at all. Didn't bother me at all.
What?
I sat back and I was like, man, this writing and art is so great. I'm just going to enjoy this ride.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And trust the creators and trust what they're doing and not make any judgments about it. You know, just feel good about what they're putting on paper. So what I did find very interesting in the comic, like, this issue really took its time. Like, there is so much horrible things happening, and this guy is talking about his wife and talking about love, and the evil little girl was like, you fucking Italians. I was like, Jesus Christ. And there is a moment where he thinks he sees his wife, and she's like, you know, don't go in there. We don't have time for this shit. And, of course, he goes in there, and it's like this sidebar that doesn't need to happen,
really?
but talks about like the pain and the stuff that he's going. I just thought it was such an interesting choice to like there is all these giant monsters attacking the world and like so much more important things that we need to deal with, but we're going to take a time out so this kind of Frankenstein monster can kind of have a horrible flashback or an almost kind of moment with his dead wife. It was like, I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that this is what we're doing in this issue.
Well, Chris, you seem to really like this a lot.
I liked it. You know, I didn't really know that much about the series, but I loved it. And to me, that's what was cool. I don't know. I guess I like protagonists. So to me, the little Frankenstein guy is going to probably be a hero at some point. And so all this stuff is going on, and this creepy little girl is taking him around hell. And I love any kind of Dante's Inferno references and all that stuff. And this, you knew that this was a big deal. Like, this is the one thing that could sway him off track was this whole thing with his wife.
Right.
And he went through it, you know, and he went through it, and it's like he overcame it. So I guess to me it was one of those. It's almost like one of those Josh Whedon moments where everything's going crazy, but there's a quiet moment with a hero where the hero sort of overcomes something. But then at the end of it, it's like, what? What's going to happen now? Because she kind of lied to him. And
it was creepy to
watch
her lick the dagger.
And then she had a little creepy little smile on her face, like, devil blood. Yeah. Likey long.
What?
I don't know. Right. I had some inner monologue going on in her head that I thought might happen.
Well, let me ask you a question as a big fan of the series. So at this point, we have basically none of the heroes of the BPRD are left. Abe Sapien is wandering around somewhere.
He's broken, dude. That's the thing. Like, this series is like, let's take all the heroes and just one by one break them.
Well, so my question is, since we are entering the actual endgame of this entire universe, you're so happy right now. Yeah. We're entering this endgame of this entire universe. Are they going to get back together? Is there an actual happy ending there? What do you think?
I hope so. I mean, it has to, right? I mean, who's going to save the day? It's got to be them coming back together. Right?
I don't know.
Maybe I hope
so. The series is just a little creepy girl licking devil blood, and that's the end of it.
Oh, no way.
I'd read that for 30 issues, and then I'd stop.
But, yeah, I think it is one of those things where, like, this is doing such a great job from going completely away from what we think it is, you know, that we're sitting here scratching our heads like, how can they save the day? It's so bad. And it keeps getting worse. I keep being like, this is the issue where it turns around and gives us a ray of hope.
Oh, my God. It's so depressing.
Yeah. All right. So since you guys are so tied into it, is the little girl ever going to, is she kind of a good person, or you think she's going to be bad?
Oh, she's the worst.
So she's the worst, or is she doing the worst with the good intentions? I thought maybe there's a ray of hope.
No, well, that's what I thought is that.
No ray of hope.
I thought what was happening was she was leading Yosef to Hellboy and being like, ah, I'm revealing that I'm a good person.
Oh.
But it seems like instead she's raised these titans from the depths of hell that are also going to destroy Earth and maybe bring about the actual end of days or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is insane.
Oh, I can't deal with it. It's too much. All right.
Don't trust little kids.
What?
Yeah, that's the story, right?
Yeah.
Don't trust little kids?
I guess. And also don't trust creepy adults.
Don't trust creepy adults, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Sorry, guys. Don't trust creepy adults.
Oh, that was so creepy. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is audience questions.
Yeah! You have got questions!
Yeah, this is your guys' questions. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys. You guys are amazing. You got thoughts. We want to hear your thoughts and feelings. And for your thoughts and feelings, we're going to give you a stack of free comic books each. So any questions you got, if you got a question for our amazing guest, Chris, you can ask one. We got one for all of us. Let us know. You, sir, why don't you come up here? What's your name? What's your question?
Hello, everybody. My name is Pablo.
Hey, Pablo.
Woo! I'd like to ask you a question, sir.
That's me, guys. For those at home in your underwear that don't know.
Oh, that's beautiful there. has anyone told you that you look like Grant Morrison?
Grant Morrison.
Oh, wow.
Who's Grant Morrison for people that don't know things?
Okay, so Grant Morrison is a very famous comic book writer. He's written hundreds and hundreds of comic books.
Maybe.
What?
Maybe thousands.
A lot of groupie action, ladies follow him around in Comic-Con and stuff like that?
Yes.
There's a question mark in that, sort of.
Well,
you don't want to admit that he's a good-looking guy? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. He is very well-dressed all the time. He always wears a very natty, weird suit, something like purple or weird stripes or something like that. You do look like Grant Morrison.
Well, Grant, I'd love to meet you someday. You sound like a very popular person in the comic book world.
Yeah. And actually, I think he has a pretty famous story where he talked about he was never into the groupie thing that people would proposition him at Comic Cons, and he'd be like, nope. Because I don't want people to think of me as like, yeah, that's the guy I had sex with. He wants people to think of him as a comic book writer first and foremost.
Grant, just thinking off the top of my head, I'm standing in for you from now on. All your appearances, bro. I'm like I'm a stunt double. Like, you know, I come in, I do a little stunt cock work, and whatever. I don't know what happens with groupies. I don't have groupies.
Yeah.
But I come in and I just stand in for him.
Can you talk with an incomprehensible Scottish accent?
I don't know if I can. You'll hurt.
Oh my God, that's fucking Grant Morrison.
Morrison, holy shit.
That is Grant Morrison. That is 100%.
Longer ladies.
I'm actually totally stunned. You have no idea who Grant Morrison is right now. I've done phone interviews with Grant Morrison that are the worst thing in the world because I then have to transcribe them afterwards. It's a nightmarish. But there you go.
Guys. Grant, man, seriously, let's do this. Let's make it happen.
All right, there we go. Grant Morrison, I know you're a regular listener.
Great question. Great question.
So let us know. Who else has a question? Absolutely anybody. You're going to get some free comics. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
I just wanted to ask you guys if there is a series that's been on your pull list forever, but that you haven't really read in forever. It was great, and then for whatever reason you stopped reading it, and you just have to catch up, or you're still buying it out of habit.
Sure. I think I personally mostly buy my stuff through Comixology at this point, and I don't subscribe to most titles, so I usually go in on a weekly basis so I can judge it, mainly ridiculously, because, you know, I'm trying to save money by only buying 20 to 30 comic books a week instead of the regular amount. But I think the Avengers titles are something that I pop in and out of. I hadn't read the Avengers titles for a while, and then Secret Wars was coming up, and so I read like 6 months worth in probably about a week and broke my brain. And then afterwards, I've kind of read them a little bit here and there, but mostly dropped off. But I feel like whenever things happen, like the Assault on Pleasant Hill storyline, which I actually thought was really cool, I jumped in and read all of those. So that's a title, I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but that's a title that I kind of, all of those titles I jump in and out of a lot of the time. What about you, Pete?
I would have to say, it's tough because it's this tough decision of like when I get to the comic book shop, I go and pick everything up that I like. And then I have to make this decision before I get to the register of like some things have got to get cut down. And unfortunately, Sometimes, depending on like if they change the artist or if they change the writer on the series, that will definitely affect my kind of a decision. But Elephant Men is definitely something for me that like I pick up, and I wish I picked up more because I love it. But it's one of those things where for some reason it kind of goes to the background a little bit.
For people who don't know that title, what's the deal?
Oh, I mean, I haven't picked it up in a while, but I always want to know what's happening. But it's just this insane, just insane book that it's just a ton of action. An amazing, crazy art.
Well, the idea of the world is that there was a war fought where they genetically produced these animal men, right? Elephant men, rhino men, everything else.
Yep.
And the world of the book takes place after that war, where they've been reintegrated in society. They created all these animal men to fight wars. The war is done, so what happens next?
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's a good book. It's really smart. It's very well written. The art is gorgeous most of the time. Yeah, you should definitely check it out.
Yep.
What about you, Chris? Is there anything you regularly read at this point?
I don't know. Not really regularly read. I used to read a lot, and then the things, though, that pull me back in, because it seemed like, especially when I'm doing this show, I always get pulled into something.
Sorry.
No, it's great. It's great for me. I always get pulled into Green Arrow from time to time, because it was kind of like a thing when I was a kid, and X-Men I always get pulled back into. Recently, the last time I did the show, I had sort of read some of the issues around Red Robin, and I was telling Pete that I got pulled into just basically picking up all of his origin story because I was reading the Detective Comics version, and I got kind of pulled into that, and I thought that was great. And Wolverine, I always get pulled into, if there's any kind of, all the old backstories, I tend to go back and I'll pick up Wolverine.
Did you start reading the recent Detective Comics?
Yeah, it was such a great storyline.
So
that's why I got into it. It's like, I was sort of reading it, and I was telling Pete, we were telling the stories, like, man, yeah, I don't know. Do I really want to read this Batman thing? And then I read it, and I'm like, holy, this is such a great storyline. So then now I'm into that, which I think I am going to keep reading that. And then Red Robin was sort of part of the people trying to help him, so sure. I kind of went back and reminded myself of the origin story, which all was right. kind of fun. Yeah, so there all you right. go.
Very cool. Good question. I think we can take one or two more questions. Yeah, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Erin. So
hi, Erin.
Hi. So for people who didn't grow up reading comics, maybe it wasn't around them. If a person is particularly interested in the storytelling aspect or the artistic aspect, are there some accessible but catching titles that one would recommend?
Sure.
Wait, hold on for that for a second.
You came to the right place to ask this question.
Here,
let me tell you.
Right, because I'm going to ask you a question. So what I always ask people when they ask this question is, what else do you like? What TV shows?
As a kid, the cartoons were on, but never the comic books. So
yeah. I mean in general.
All of the X-Men, Spider-Man was definitely happening. Definitely Transformers. Like anything thematically like that, I've enjoyed. Also heavy fantasy in the book realm. So
got it.
You know, in the kid era or adult fiction.
Very cool. Well, the first thing that I'd recommend, Pete, I don't know if you've been reading this at all, but Marvel is actually publishing X-Men 92. They're doing the X-Men animated series as a comic book. So that's something, if you were into the animated series, it's a follow-up on that. So that's a really easy place to jump in. For magical surrealist comic books, I don't know if you've been reading Monstrous at all. That's a current one. It's by Marjorie Liu. It's set... I don't know why.
Marjorie Liu, definitely look up. She's amazing.
Fantastic. This book, again, it's like an animal, magical world type thing. But it's about this woman with one arm who's trying to take revenge for her mother, who was killed in this war with witches. But it's sort of steampunk a little bit, sort of very Asian inflected. There's a lot of foxes with multiple tails and things like that. And she, the first arc is her trying to take this artifact back from the witches, and then she finds out something horrible about herself. The second arc is as she's trying to take the artifact back home. And it's really fantastical and weird, and it's a great book. What about you, Pete?
I would recommend, right now, IDW is kind of redoing a bunch of great stuff from the kind of like cartoon days of like Transformers and G.I. Joe and stuff like that. So like, definitely go check that out. Also, I like to recommend, especially when people don't know like where to kind of jump in, Day Tripper. Is a great kind of one and done. It's like one graphic novel, and it's so beautiful. and just an amazing storytelling. These two identical twins write and draw it, and it's like tripped out, but there's heart, and it's weird, but magical. It's fantastic.
I was just going to jump in there and mention on the IDW stuff, which you mentioned a little bit before. Did anybody read ROM number one from IDW? A couple of you did. So that's really cool. And the reason that's really cool, I was never totally into the Transformers G.I. Joe comics or anything like that. Like, I was okay with them, and some of them I would pop in and out to the earlier question. But ROM is always a character that I liked back in Marvel. He's now being published by IDW. They had a number one issue that came out where he's this space knight who comes down fighting these magical creatures called Dire Wraths, who on Earth in this iteration are pretending to be human and trying to take over human society. And the twist, which I'm totally going to spoil at the end, is they bring in an elite team to take down ROM and stop him, the government does, run by the Dire Wraths, and that elite team is G.I. Joe. And
nice.
So I know, right? And it's great to see them come in, and it's all leading up to this event that they're going to have called Revolution that mashes up G.I. Joe and Transformers and ROM and Mask and all these Hasbro properties. I know.
Had the best theme song.
It's really fun, and I didn't expect getting to the end of that issue to have such a 80s nostalgia tingle, but it's great. And particularly if you want to jump into something completely new that gets back to those old cartoons of the Transformer feels, then ROM number one is a great place to start.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would also just like to say Saga is an amazing kind of fantasy. The art is just like paintings, every page.
And I think we're contractually obligated to mention Lock and Key, which is from the team who did Tales from the Dark Side. It's our favorite comic on the show. It's a dark horror fantasy book. It told over six volumes, and it's the best thing you'll ever
read. Yeah, the art is so great. You literally jump when you're reading. It's so intense.
It's great.
But yeah, I would also just say, like, Google Marjorie Liu and just see some of the stuff that she's written, because she's written some amazing story arcs. Stay away from Dark Wolverine, though. She's a fantastic writer.
Dark Wolverine is great. Don't listen to Pete. Wow, Pete, actually, I don't know how he did this if you're listening at home. He literally cut me with his eyes. Like, there's a slice in my face
right
now.
His eyes went schnit.
all right, cool. I think we can take one more question.
Yeah, we can.
One more question. If anybody's got anything, absolutely anything, you, sir.
Curtis.
What's your name? What's your question?
Yeah.
All right, we know what your name is. What's your question?
I'm sorry. What's your name, sir? What's your name?
Curtis.
Hi, Curtis.
So, sort of follow-up-ish. What are some titles that seem maybe unapproachable from a distance, but actually end up being really approachable as you read them?
That's a really good question. That's really interesting. To Pablo over there's point, comics is generally unapproachable, I think. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, where you walk into a comic book store, and if you don't regularly read comics, there's thousands of these things that make no sense, and it's so deep, and there's so many different things going on. It's almost impossible to get into, which is all a way of me delaying answering this question while I try to think about it.
Well, then what I would like to say is, when you do walk into a store and you feel intimidated, I say that like the best thing to do is kind of browse. Open up some books, look at some stuff, and some art and some storytelling will speak to you a little bit, and that can kind of give you a feel. But to answer your question, I feel like DC can be very off-putting because there is so many worlds, all those multiple universes, all these timelines. It seems so intense. But a lot of the times, because they're rebooting so often, it's actually very approachable and very easy to get into. Lately, it's been, for me, like Justice League I'm totally blanking on it right now, but Flash has been great, but it just seems so so much has happened. But
probably the best example of that, now that I have time to think about it for a minute, is Amazing Spider-Man, where there's been hundreds of issues at this point. It's Spider-Man. There's so many plot points that Dan Slott constantly is throwing out there. But Dan Slott, almost to a fault, is able to set up every issue so that it is new reader friendly. It's a lost art in comic books, I think, to have a character say, "Hey, it's my Aunt May who raised me as a kid." And it feels a little cheesy and it feels a little backwards, but he makes sure that anybody can jump into any comic at any time, and it's really appreciated. I think it's great. Particularly when now Peter Parker is not just a kid living in his aunt's attic or, you know, upstairs or wherever he lived. He is the CEO of a major multinational company. He has multiple women that he's balancing.
Yeah, if you wanted to see, like, heroes. Tony Stark bought Spider-Man, it's a great time to now pick it up.
Come on. Jesus Christ, Pete.
No, but I do completely agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Dan Slott is an amazing writer.
That was... I don't know. Oh, okay.
He is.
All right.
I'm always a huge fan of his writing. Some of the choices that he makes, I don't love, but like you can't say enough about his actual, like, the way he tells a story and the way he pulls you in. It's just fantastic.
All right, there we go. Chris, as a casual comic book fan, is there anything that you find has just been super easy for you to get into?
Well, I guess it sort of depends on if you want to find something that's complicated that's actually not so complicated once you get into it, or something that's just not that complicated. So, like, I know that for me, and I was talking about Green Arrow before, I'm into his Rebirth series. Mm-hmm. It's a dude's a vigilante. He shoots arrows. It's not that complicated. So that's a pretty easy one, and they brought Black Canary in, so I thought, I don't know. That was an easy one to follow. And then surprisingly, and I was telling Pete, I mean, it's kind of complicated, but I really tracked it more than I thought. It was the Jupiter's Legacy stuff. There was a lot of where I was like, what?
Yeah.
But I followed it pretty well, you know, as opposed to, like, I had read the Black Panther stuff and I was like, man, this is complicated. I don't get it. But I followed the Jupiter's Legacy stuff.
Yeah. Black Panther right now is very dense. I mean, he's trying to do so much.
Yeah.
He's setting up such an amazing world to then kind of have something happen.
Yeah, I would
but
say
it
Black
does
Panther,
seem a lot.
Black Panther is a title that seems complicated and is complicated.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But also amazing. And the art. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we were talking about that Detectives comic series. That there's a lot of things going on, but it's not that hard to get into. It's particularly if you know anything at all about Batman.
Yeah, and that's
it wasn't
like
that hard. Wasn't that hard to track. And
no, what,
and you got I got into it like that. So now I'm really into the whole story.
All right, there we go. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, guys.
Woo! Yeah! Do it!
All right, guys, we're
going
to go on to the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Yeah! Week in Geek!
We actually have a Week in Geek. We actually are doing a Week in Geek.
He's good at this. And for the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, mostly TV stuff. Let's kick it off with the tech.
Yes.
So last week on the show, we had Griffin Newman, who plays Arthur on the new rebooted Tick for Amazon. There's one episode up right now. You can go to Amazon, watch it for free. They're doing their pilot season thing where they present new pilots that everybody can vote and judge on, and maybe some of them will get picked up a series. The Tick, so I didn't even realize this. We didn't even ask Griffin about this. It was directed by Wally Pfister, who's the DP on all of Christopher Nolan's movies.
Yeah.
The costumes were by Colleen Atwood, who's an Academy Award-winning costume designer. Peter Serafinowicz plays the Tick. Griffin is Arthur. And Jackie Earl Harley is the Terror, which is the bad guy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to see this, Chris?
I have not seen this at all. So
you
were telling me about
to
the Tick.
Check it out.
But I used to know the old Tick, so I'm definitely going to check it out because I'm definitely into all the stuff that's happening
well,
with the
Pete,
TV
Well, Pete, you were
stuff.
Over the moon about this.
Yeah, I was so happy. I was also very nervous because I love the Tick, the comic, and then the television series, both the animated and the live action. So I was very nervous, but again, it's the creator who is writing it, and it's kind of have his hands in there. So it's just very cool to kind of see an updated version the choices they're making. They're different choices. This focuses a lot on Arthur, but amazing sense of humor. You still get kind of that Tick feel. It's hilarious. It's intense. There's so much going on. And after one issue, it's just kind of explaining.
Episode.
One, yeah, sorry.
All right.
one episode, you're right. It's the pilot. But you really are just kind of setting up this world, and I want so much more. I really think they, if they get the green light, which I really hope they do, and if you're listening, please go check it out, because it's got a lot of heart, and hopefully we'll get more of it. But, man, just fantastic.
Yeah, if anything, my one criticism of it was that it was just like the first half hour of a movie, yeah, where it felt like, oh, you just finished. I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That it almost wasn't even a pilot. It didn't really, you know, there was Arthur's evolution into finally putting on a superhero suit, but it just felt like it needs so much more to happen. And if you're a fan of The Tick, I think it's less satirical and goofy. It's not...
It has moments, though. I mean, The Tick himself is
pretty
goofy.
Oh, it's great. And I laughed out loud multiple times watching it. It's really funny. And there's even very, really subtle things, like Griffin has this great tick that he does, no pun intended, but with his eyeball that is hilarious. And there's other little moments like that and little bits of physical comedy. But it treats Arthur very seriously, and it gives him an emotional arc that's fascinating that I really want to see play out. And one little thing that I'll throw out to you that I was thinking about while I was watching it, try to think about if The Tick is real.
Right.
If The Tick exists. Because there's an interesting subtext there that maybe The Tick is somebody that Arthur has imagined while you're watching it, which is also kind of a fascinating thing, particularly if you've watched the other Tick series, because he's so over the top and crazy and doesn't really fit in this world, that to have him be an imaginary creation of Arthur's mind is a really interesting thing that I would love to see played out more.
That's cool, man. That's I'm going to definitely watch it. You guys have sold me.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to try to sell Pete on something now, which is Fear the Walking Dead. Pete, you are...
the last season was such garbage, man.
Yeah, you have, at this point, disembarked from Fear the Walking Dead. Would you say
I got off the boat, exactly. Yeah. I loved the first season. I thought it was such a great creative idea of, like, okay, if the zombie apocalypse happens, and the first season deals with, okay, the government is protecting this neighborhood, and you have to trust the government if you want to live inside this fence, and they'll protect you from the zombies. But it's like, as the series goes on, you learn about all the fucked up things the government's doing to keep you safe, and it's just this great kind of, where would you go? Would you just say, fuck you, government, and try to make it on your own outside the fence? Or do you kind of put up with their bullshit so you can stay safe? And I love that. I thought that was such a great thing. And then the next season was just like, now you're on a boat, and zombies in water, and zombies can swim. You're still not safe in a boat. And it's like, what the fuck? What a turn it took. And then their new season... I guess they're not on a boat, but I'm too pissed off to
pick it back up. Let me see if I can sell you on it, and I definitely can't. But the first half of the season was on a boat. I also thought it was fine. I like the characters, but it was trying to be Walking Dead, where there were pirates attacking the boat, and they were getting lost and shot at it and whatever. This first episode back, though, literally brought it back to basics. And had Nick, who's the son character on Fear the Walking Dead, former druggie, reformed druggie. He's the person.
Great.
He's fantastic, and he's the person that's adjusted the most out of either show to the zombie apocalypse, to the point where he's wondered why he's not so upset about all the dead people wandering around. It's just him the entire episode. Mm. And it's mostly silent, and it's mostly him just wandering around, trying to find water, getting attacked by rabid dogs, and it comes out of nowhere. It's frequently hilarious in a really weird, dark way, and it was great. And I can tell you, I've seen the next episode as well. And it splits the difference a little bit. Like, there's Walking Dead style crazy things happening, but there's also some really good character moments. I don't know that it's totally getting back to basics, but it's definitely throwing some new wrinkles in there and playing with things in a thoughtful way going forward that it was not in the first half of the season.
Can you miss season two and then just watch season three?
Well, it's all season two. That was the first half of season two, and now it's the second half of season two.
Oh, okay. So can I skip the fucking...
You already watched it, though.
No, I mean, I didn't watch all of it. I missed, like, the last three.
Oh, yeah, you can skip it.
Okay, great.
It's fine. I frequently forget who everybody is on that show.
There you go.
But cool. There we go. Last thing to talk about while we're talking about Walking Dead before we move on. So the Walking Dead Blu-ray and digital release hit today. And there were a bunch of extras on it. There were deleted scenes, mostly of people digging stuff for some reason. I don't know why they cut all of
these
scenes.
Do they tell you who got...
Yeah, yeah. There's a deleted scene where they're like, and then Maggie died.
Oh, don't you say Maggie?
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't me. It was the deleted scene. But they have an extended version of the Negan intro scene, which is uncensored. So finally, we get to hear Negan curse.
Yeah, be Negan.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was everything, and it's crazy that just like a simple. Him saying fuck 23 times in 5 minutes is exactly what was missing, but it really seriously was missing from
the
scene.
Yeah, I felt very much more Negan.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I was like, I don't think this is worth buying the DVD, but then after watching it, I'm like, oh, this feels so great.
It
when
does.
When he just starts going off. It
yeah,
just
him
really
saying, all
like
you fucking fucks, I'm going to fucking kill you, you fucks. Yeah. It's just, there's something about it where... It's so essential to the character for him to be so ridiculous with his language that to not have it...
It didn't feel like it.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't feel as scary. He didn't feel as crazy. He didn't feel as like any moment could fucking lose it, you know.
Now, I'll throw something out to you, which is interesting. There's one other change beyond the language from the DVD to the regular, to the broadcast show. In the DVD where he says all the fucks, he also at one point very briefly lifts up his jacket and shows off a gun in his belt, which to me went the other way. To me, I was like, oh, he doesn't need a gun.
Yeah.
No, he just has his language. He has his barbed wire bat.
Lucille.
And he's yes, I know it's Lucille.
Okay,
and he's terrifying based on that. Do you think, does he need guns?
I don't think so. Definitely not. But I guess at some point they thought, like, just to add another layer for people who don't know him from the comics of how dangerous he is, maybe showing the gun they felt like did that. So
yeah, well, I'm glad they left it out. I don't like guns, Pete.
Yeah, me either.
Chris, do you like guns?
I don't like guns. I did like watching Pete watch that clip, though, before the show. I think it was about the 6th F-bomb, and Pete fell in love right before my eyes. It was a beautiful thing.
All right, very cool. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah! Woo!
Guys, yes. We're going to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn over to my best friend in the entire world, Pete LePage.
Yeah.
You lie. Great. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. If you had $25, you'd go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25? Simple raising of the hand. Oh, we had two that went up at the same time.
This guy.
Yeah? All right. Yes, you.
Yeah.
Come on up. What is your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew, audience, Andrew.
Hello, all.
Hey, Andrew.
All right, so today's trivia is on the tick. Have you checked out the show?
I did. I watched it like 4 a.m.
Nice, man. Awesome. Well, great. Okay, here we go. Question number one. When Ben Edlund when did Ben Edlund create the tick? I know. I can't read. I'm horrible at reading. When did he create the tick? Is it A, in high school, B, in a college writing class, or is it C, on Cybertron? So it is either A, in high school, or B, in a college writing class. Don't pick B.
Sounds like A.
A is correct. Nice job. The villain called the Terror is played by an amazing actor who also played blank in a comic book movie. Is it A, the comedian, B, Rorschach, or is it C, Soundwave? So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B, Rorschach.
B, Rorschach.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he killed it as the Terror. I thought he was like scary and then had that like moment with the ice cream. It was really
comically frightening, I'd
say. Yes. Yeah. Great way to word it, man. All right. In the cartoon series, what was the Tick's battle cry? Is it A, spoon, B, do stuff, or is it C, roll out? So it's either A, Spoon.
It is Spoon. I actually did
know
that one.
Yeah. $25. $3 for you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Rock
yeah,
out.
Exactly. Thank you, Pablo.
Fantastic. Good job. All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Man, there's a lot. There's a lot coming out.
Great. Choose one of them.
I'll say Hellblazer number one is coming out. I'm very excited about that.
Cool.
Also,
okay,
Invincible number 130 because it's they say it's going to be wrapping up, so I want to read every issue and enjoy it as much as possible.
Yep. Okay, great. All right. Thank you for only choosing two. I'm looking forward to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I have five there. I have like five.
That's not... We've been doing... All right. Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 30 is coming out. It's the last issue of this series, and it has been so good. Christos Gage is writing. Rebecca Isaacs is on art. And if you miss old Buffy the Vampire Slayer, this is back to basics this season. You could probably skip at least one of the previous seasons, the one that came right after. I think this is on season 10 now. And it was so good. It brought them back to San Francisco, brought in some old, well-missed characters. And I'm sad to see it go. But I'm excited the same team is coming back for next season because it was great. What are you looking forward to, Chris?
I kind of alluded to before. I'm really into this Detective Comics series now that's coming out. It's great. I don't know. I never really thought I was. It's almost like made me like Batman again. I don't know. I liked him before, but I really
like
this whole series.
Batman. I like Batman.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Everyone in the audience is looking at a scare now. That's cool. Yeah, that's one I want to pick up.
All right,
very
cool.
Also, Grace told me before the show he wanted to look. He's excited for Wonder Woman number 5.
He did not say that. That's you saying that. Piece of shit.
I'm excited for Wonder Woman number 5.
That's probably also on Pete's list, by the way. Pete found a way to slide. Okay.
Yeah. What else do you want to plug?
Oh, well, I think we've covered. I think I've covered everything I want to plug. Go to chrisgracecomedy.com. That would be cool. There's stuff on there you can check out. At me, Chris Griggs. Come to my Twitter and all that jazz, and let's be social media friends, guys. Let's bridge the bond between my world and yours.
Wow, that sounded super creepy. Don't get in this van.
Get in my comedy van, guys.
A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, I'm going to be co-hosting the show with Nat Towson, one of our favorite guests to have here, is going to be co-hosting with me. And we're going to be welcoming our guest, Matt Holmes, who is the excellent artist of Bravest Warriors and Secret Coders. That's going to be... If you're seeing it live in New York, it's going to be back at the Pit Loft, not at the super hot pit attic that we're burning up in right now. Also, the show is free to listen to and free to see live, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So there's two ways you can donate to the show. You can go to patreon.com/comicbookclub, get some awesome prizes there. We just got in our first batch of stickers, which we're going to be sending out to donors. So if you'd like to donate to the show, we'll send you some free stickers or other ridiculous prizes like that. You can also go to gofundme.com/comicbookclublive if you want to donate one time instead of once a month, but either are much appreciated. Definitely. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
You can check us out at Comic Book Live, comicbookclublive.com, and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Chris Griggs for being on the show.
Yeah, guys, thank you. I'm the new audience hype man. Yeah.
Oh, man, you are the best hype man. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, Dave McKay, and Riley Trahan. On photo, we want to thank Louis DC.
Louis.
There he is. I pointed to the wrong person. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here not physically here, but in general, every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.